Our next case for today is Zhu against Bellinger.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Peng Qian Ma for the appellant. Your Honors, this case is a civil action brought under Section 1983. My client represented himself throughout all the proceedings. He was able to overcome a motion for summary judgment, and the case was set for jury trial on June 27, 2011.
After a number of postponements.
Right. Yeah, that's the... But unfortunately, on June 24th, he was hospitalized in Cook County Hospital.
Had he contacted you yet? At that point, had he been in touch with you? I thought I read somewhere in there where you were considering whether or not to take his case.
Yes, but I was not admitted to that district. So he came to my office saying that I might be representing him, but I did contact the defendant's counsel, inquiring about the possibility of my being admitted to the district, to the court, and representing him, but this is not, it was not done.
The reason I mentioned the earlier postponements, when the judge sets that June date, he says that this is a firm date. He's been trying to say that actually all along. And then Mr. Zhu does manage to call somebody at the court, but doesn't so much as leave a callback number for the hospital or anything. There's no way that the court can verify this. I understand maybe you don't call back on a payphone if there is such a thing anymore, but if he's at Cook County Hospital or Stroger Hospital or whatever it was called at the time, there would be a way of leaving a number saying, this is where I am, I'm very sorry I'm not there, but please communicate this to the judge right away. Something could have been done, and the judge believes that not enough has been done, and our review is for abuse of discretion.
Your Honor, he tried, I think in his motion to vacate the judgment, to vacate the dismissal, he explained the circumstances. He tried several times because the payphone was not available during a certain period of time.
It doesn't matter. All he had to do is say, I am at the hospital. It's possible to get the phone number of the hospital from whoever is sitting at the reception desk. I mean, this is doable. No one's asking him to do things that are impossible. And the judge construes his motion as a motion to alter or amend the judgment and finds that there hasn't been enough diligence.
What happened, because I was not a part of the case at the time.
No, I'm not blaming you for anything. I'm just saying.
He was a patient. We have to understand he was a patient at the time. He tried to, he testified, or he at least he in his motion explained, he did talk to a Michael in the clerk's office, notifying the clerk that he was not able to attend the jury trial on that date because he was hospitalized.
But doesn't give a number for a callback or for any follow-up.
He does not have a phone number because he had to call at the payphone.
I'm saying you can ask the nurse, you know, what's the number of this hospital? It's whatever it is, you know.
I don't know. Well, I have never been to the Cook County Hospital.
I can't believe they don't have a phone.
He did call the court. But in his motion, he did attach a copy of the simple discharge paper. He was discharged on July 1st. It shows that he was hospitalized.
And the judge takes that as a fact. I'm looking at the judge's order. The judge says he's not unsympathetic to his medical problems. You know, the judge isn't challenging his word about that. The judge is challenging his prosecution of his case.
That's hospitalization was not a good cause to excuse his absence from the trial. That's the post-judgment procedure for this kind of relief. He was seeking the relief. We cannot just focus on what he did while he was hospitalized. We just he was hospitalized, was not able to attend the trial. He filed a motion right after he was released. I think that's we should focus on the inquiry on this. And also the judge said, oh, you filed this within 10 days. We have to consider your motion as under Rule 59.
Well, that was clearly correct. I mean, your argument to the contrary is just not... First of all, it doesn't make any difference. It's a Rule 59 motion, but the judge was certainly correct about that.
I don't think
there's
the judge...
There's never been a trial. How could you have a new trial when there hasn't been a first trial?
But the case was dismissed at the time of the trial. He was not able to present his case at the trial. He could say, I request a trial, not a new trial. I could request a trial, but his case was dismissed for want of prosecution at the time of a trial scheduled for June 27th. He could... A new trial or a trial simply under Rule 59E.
Right. I don't know why you think he'd be better off under Rule 60, but I can assure you he would not. Rule 59E is at best on a par with Rule 60 in these circumstances and is usually more lenient.
I understand. But the judge also discussed the Rule 60. But he did not give much consideration to Rule 60 because the motion was filed within 10 days.
But our court also the judge to do.
Yeah, the judge mentioned that he did not show extraordinary circumstances for his failure to appear at the trial. He attached the part of the record, the medical record, showing he was discharged from the hospital on June 1st. What other evidence that did the judge need to show an extraordinary circumstance?
The problem here is that if that had been an isolated incident, you might have a good appeal here. But the judge based his decision on the course of conduct, many missed deadlines, many postponements, many other failures to cooperate with the court and counsel, of which the failure to appear at the firm trial date, which had already been postponed at least once, I think, perhaps more than once, twice, was the final straw. So if it's not just an isolated incident, then your argument might have some traction, but it's a whole course of conduct of failure to prosecute the case.
But the case was continued a couple of times. I believe during a previous scheduled trial, my client became whatever agitated or whatever. The judge, even the judge himself, observed that he did not, he was not able to handle the trial at the time. He was ill, and the judge continued the case. The motion filed after the dismissal of the case was in good faith. He was in a medical condition that requires him to be hospitalized. It was not his choice, but he was able to overcome the motion for summary judgment, and the case would not have been dismissed just based on his illness. He did not have control. If the judge did not believe him and he chose to be hospitalized, the judge should have conducted a hearing to see whether his claim was in good faith or not. His doctors testified before over the phone regarding his condition on previous occasions. We understand that the case was continued several times, but he did not have control of the circumstances which prevented him from attending the trial.
How long was he in the hospital before he made the phone call?
I say it again.
How many days was he in the hospital before he made the phone call?
He tried after he was hospitalized, but a phone was not available to him.
For how many days?
He was the 24th was the first date he was hospitalized. I believe right after.
Was that a Friday?
Yeah, at the time he was.
There was a weekend and some things like that.
Yeah, it was a weekend.
Because really, the judge had called a jury, and everybody's ready, and your client. Before he was your client, I guess, had two witnesses, himself and the deputy. And there seemed to be not much preparation for the trial, et cetera, even though it was dragged on a long time. So the judge said, hey, you know, I've got 24 people here for a jury, and all of a sudden you get a call the day of the trial. And that's just, that's the last straw kind of thing.
I understand, Your Honor. Again, that's the circumstance. He did not have control over that.
All right. I believe that you've made your point, Mr. Ma. We understand.
Okay.
So thank you very
thank
much.
You.
Mr. Starnes.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Counsel. Really, Mr. Zhao, the appellant, has not presented any cogent arguments on appeal because the positions that he states in his brief are not supported by citations to evidence in the record or applicable and relevant case law, and therefore he's really waived any argument on appeal.
But is his basic point a fairly simple one? Yes, it was inconvenient for the court, I believe, for the third time to have a trial date that needed to be pushed back. Maybe it was the second time a jury had been summoned. But nobody seems to be contesting the fact that Mr. Zhao was indeed in the hospital. So why not yet another chance?
Well, and not only did he inconvenience the court by not appearing for trial after it had been scheduled a third time following, I think, over 12...
Is this the second time a full jury had been summoned?
I believe the second time the trial was actually due to start.
So in other words, the jurors were sitting around...
Yes.
The other time he got sick, right?
The other time he claimed to be ill, yes, and the judge, I think, gave him the benefit of the doubt in that instance and continued the trial for another month. I believe that sort of speaks for itself, that the judge didn't really believe that he was all that ill if he only gave him another month and told him that that was a solid trial date yet again. And the court certainly is well within its bounds to make those sort of discretionary calls and did so in this instance, even assuming...
The nature of Mr. Zhao's illness in this record?
I don't believe it is solidly in the record. There's some allusion to various ailments, including post-traumatic stress disorder, but he also claimed to be physically ill on the morning of the May 9th, 2011 trial date.
This is when the judge does see enough wrong that he pushes the trial back a month, despite the convening of the jury.
Yes, and as counsel raised, there was previously a telephone conference in which a physician appeared that had treated Mr. Zhao, and the record establishes clearly, and you'll note that immediately following that hearing, the judge denied a series of motions to continue to delay trial because the physician did not make any statements to support the fact that Mr. Zhao could not move forward.
Well, all the while he's pro se, isn't he?
Yes.
Is there any question about his capacity to even conduct this trial?
There wasn't. And indeed, the court made some findings that are on the record that established that he felt that Mr. Zhao was fully capable of representing himself at trial. He obviously was handy at filing motions and appeared for the final pretrial conference before the May trial date. He handled his criminal matter that preceded this pro se and actually won that case, I believe. So there's certainly no indication that he was unable of representing himself at trial, and that was not really a factor.
I wasn't cognizant of that. He actually tried his own case, criminal trial, and got acquitted?
He did. There was a hung jury that resulted, and he was acquitted. That's my understanding. Of course, that's not in this record, but that is the case, and he proceeded in this case pro se and was fine in so proceeding until he decided he did not want to prosecute his case any further, and that's what precipitated the dismissal, not solely his hospitalization during the June 27th trial date, but as the court has alluded, the record clearly establishes a pattern of failing or refusing to comply with court orders and deadlines and trial dates and a continued effort to delay and frustrate the court and as well as the defendant, Patrick Bellinger, who stood ready to appear for trial and duly objected to any and all motions to continue trial filed by Mr. Zhao during the time, was certainly present on the May 9th trial date, certainly present on the June 27th trial date. And was effective accordingly. The district court was well within its bounds to conduct that fact-finding The standard is quite deferential to the court in its determination that Mr. Zhao's behavior was in frustration of justice and civil procedure. And accordingly, as Zhao has on appeal not demonstrated that that was an abuse of discretion, we request that this court affirm the district court in its dismissal of that case and the denial of post-judgment relief. Absent any further questions from the panel, I would rest on my brief in this matter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your time ran out, Mr. Ma, but I will give you one more minute if you have anything you'd like to wrap up.
I admire my client that he represented himself all the way to the dismissal of the case. He represented himself in a jury trial when he was prosecuted by the state. He won the jury trial, but he is a lay person. He is a lay person. He did not he was not able to do it according to the rules sometimes, but he did file this motion to vacate the judgment on time, and he did state a good reason for vacating the judgment. The judge should not have just relied on those circumstances under the repeated continuance. This case should have been decided on the merit of the facts. He should not have been denied the right to have his claim heard by the jury just because of his illness. This case, the district court should be reversed. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. The case will be taken under advisement.